and welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And today we're on our final Bridgerton happily ever after.
Oh no! What are we going to do now?
Well, except not quite, but we'll discuss that at the end.
Oh man!
Okay, but we're at the final Bridgerton sibling,
yes.
Right? So this is Gregory's book that we get to discuss his epilogue and second epilogue today.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, before we get any farther, we do have a trigger warning today, and that is traumatic birth. So just if that's not something that you want to hear discussed, this is not the episode for you.
Yes. So let's first talk about what happened at the end of On the Way to the Wedding, or recap the original epilogue.
Yes. So the epilogue of On the Way to the Wedding recounts all of the births of Gregory and Lucy's first 8 children. They just seem to be very fertile and happy in their marriage. The births get shorter and easier as they go along, and finally, at birth 8, convinced that this would be his final child, Gregory decides to attend the birth rather than sit outside with a newspaper.
It seems quite quick and easy, to which Lucy peevishly replies, "Well, if you'd been present the first time," but cannot finish her sentence, for she has another contraction and pushes out a second child. Gregory is overwhelmed at the prospect of 9 children, but he realizes all he really needs to do is love them, which he most definitely does.
Yes, it's very cute and sweet at the end. They've just had the births of their 2 last daughters. And so then we have the second epilogue, which does something very different than all of our other epilogues.
Yes.
Because our story picks up in the middle of where the last one was.
Yes.
We're going back to the birth of the twins.
And apparently, there's a lot more to say.
There's a lot more to say. So, for the births, Hyacinth is visiting Gregory and Lucy for the birth of their final child. It will be their 8th, and thus far they've named their brood completely after members of their family.
Lucy has felt that this pregnancy has been very different than the others, and it turns out she was right. She delivers twin girls quickly and successfully.
However, all is not well with Lucy. So this is where we divulge a little bit from the first epilogue, and we learn a little bit more after, you know, a little bit more time. So she hemorrhages after the birth, and both the midwife and the doctor can't be sure that she'll pull through.
After a somber night of hoping and praying, Lucy does wake and find the strength to hug her children and meet her twins. While she was unconscious, Gregory and their oldest daughter, Catherine, decided to give the children their middle names. Gregory and Lucy had already decided on Eloise and Francesca as the girls' first names, but they are dubbed Eloise Lucy and Francesca Hyacinth.
At the end of the epilogue, Lucy is recovering and the family is happily meeting their newest additions. Whoa.
Yeah. Took a turn.
It took a turn, and it's kind of a rough way to end all the happily ever afters, if I may be so bold.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talk about how, like, the cuteness of the last one, and it's like, it was very fun. But Hyacinth and Gareth were kind of fun, you know?
Yeah. But so were Lucy and Gregory. And it's just, so I will say, you know, I am 6-ish, 7-ish months somewhere in that pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I am 6 or 7 months pregnant, somewhere in that range right now. So I think this is the first time I've really understood, like, the need for trigger warnings, because as I started to read this, I was like, oh, this really isn't what I want to read right now. Like, this really just isn't.
Yeah.
And so I think I had my first personal moment of like, oh, a trigger warning would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what was coming, right? Because I've read this before. I also am doing it for the podcast. So, you know, I was able to push through.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in my own life right now. I just had a friend who they had a successful pregnancy that resulted in a stillbirth. Ugh. And I mean, especially in today's world, like that is really, you know, very unlikely, mm-hmm. which we're so lucky for. But it's a difficult thing to fathom in general. And it's also kind of a difficult thing to wrap your head around when you're also pregnant.
Yeah.
So I just feel like around me right now is a little bit of stress. And so reading this, you know, normally I would research, like I would have had a history fact mm-hmm. and I would have researched about hemorrhaging and how they treated that and all that stuff. And I was just like, no, like, no, that's not what I want to read about.
You don't
want
to do more research at this current moment in time. We're going to keep happy, positive thoughts. We yeah. do know the dangers. We don't need to research them.
Yes. Yeah. So anyhow, it was an interesting read for me and an interesting way for Julia Quinn to wrap up her epilogues. Now, I understand it has like – it has tension and it has intrigue and then it has the happily ever after. But it also was hard for me because, you know, Lucy and Gregory are talking about how this is going to be the last. Mm-hmm. Like, we're done after this, yeah. hopefully. And they're both, like, kind of just, like, hopefully, because they don't want to stop having sex, but they don't have a lot of options.
Yeah, there really isn't good birth control, so.
So I feel kind of sad and stressed for them. And then she has this traumatic birth where she almost dies and leaves, you know, 9 children motherless mm-hmm. and her loving husband without a, you know, his loving wife. And
so with like newborn twins.
So I didn't find the resolution to be particularly happy. You know, like, yes, she lived, but there's still like all these questions, like what happens if she gets pregnant again?
Yeah.
Like it could happen.
No, it could. And I mean, that's a very real thing. And how many stories have you read that, you know, they're motherless because the doctor said they shouldn't have another child and, you know, she got pregnant again and it didn't go well. And
yeah.
No, I will say it is kind of a downer, especially coming off the fact that, you know, they have had 8 kids and, you know, it's all been fairly easier and easier.
Boom, boom, boom.
And then, like, you know, the miracle of twins, you know, but then to have it be dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And then, yes, happily ever after. And I guess, I don't know. I kind of don't see the point of that either.
Yeah. I didn't know why we needed to have something that difficult for them. Because I was, you know, Julia Quinn introduces each of these happily ever afters with like a short paragraph of her thoughts. Mm-hmm. And her introduction to it is that basically a lot of people wanted to know what they named all their children and how would you name that many children?
Yeah.
And so she explains how they were named and she names the twins in this. And you know, Hyacinth is there for it. She has Hyacinth there, but they thought they were only going to have one girl, which they were going to name Eloise, or if it was a girl, it was Eloise. So they thought Francesca and Hyacinth would be left out. Anyhow, the point is, it just seems like unnecessary to
– they could have had that discussion without the drama of
– of Lucy dying,
yeah.
like almost dying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it did not feel satisfying to me, this epilogue. I'm very glad she pulled through and didn't die. I mean, I'm curious though, what was your reaction? Because you're not in that stage of your life at all right now.
No.
So how did it hit you?
I mean, it didn't hit me so dramatically. I guess it was more like wrapped up into a story, especially since like the first epilogue is kind of funny because Gregory witnesses the birth and he's like, oh God, how have you done this many times? And she's like, eh.
Yeah.
And then to like have it be dramatic because Gregory witnessed it, like, you know, I didn't really need. I don't know, like I'm not in that stage, so it didn't hit me as hard. But I never really liked the idea of main characters that you love being on death's door. I never do. It's why I read romance novels. I know that my favorite heroine of the book is not going to suddenly die.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, we've read plenty of books where, like, people get shot And then they get a fever, or they all, you know, like there's lots of dramatic Regency things where, like, you know, they don't have the medicine, but they still somehow pull through mm-hmm. because someone puts honey on a wound or whatever it is. But I agree. I just felt like it didn't do it for me. And I wished that their happily ever after was a little more happily.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's okay that it isn't actually our last foray into Bridgerton then.
Yes. There were some nice moments in this story, though, and there is a quote that I would like to share.
Please do.
And it comes between it's Gregory thinking about his children. He's, you know, when Lucy's unconscious, he's really reminiscing. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of thinking about how he, you know, as a fourth son, like, you know, he was either destined to be a gentleman farmer, but then when he was destined to be a gentleman farmer, but then when his first child was born, he realized, you know, he was actually destined to be a father, which is very sweet. Mm-hmm. And so it says, when he looked down at baby Catherine, her eyes still that dark baby gray that all his children had when they were tiny, he knew why he was here, what he was meant for. That was when he knew. He existed to shepherd this miraculous little creature to adulthood, to protect her and to keep her well. He adored all his children, but he would always have a special bond with Catherine because she was the one who had taught him who he was meant to be. And that is, again, very touching and very sweet. And I, you know, I'm about to have my second child. And so there's this big transition coming in my life where, you know, I'm not going to only just have one child ever again. And so there is this kind of wonder in my mind of like, what will, you know, will my bond be a little specialer with my first? Mm-hmm. Like, will there be a some, not specialer, but will my bond be different? For sure.
Yeah.
And I think that that just really resonated with me.
Yes. And I think that she does convey it really well. You know, and I was talking about it in the last one as well, but even with Gregory too, like I love the fact that he and Lucy are the ones, he's the youngest of the kids, or not the youngest, Hyacinth's youngest, but he's the second youngest of eight kids. And yet he has all the kids because like he and his wife just, you know, that's what they want and they're good at it. And he just, I love, mm-hmm. again, you read that quote and I was like, it's so beautiful.
Yes. So, can you believe it? That's our last Bridgerton sibling happily ever after.
It is. But luckily, it's not our last foray into Bridgerton land.
It certainly is not. There is much more to explore. However, there's one more novella in this Bridgerton Happily Ever After collection, and I had totally forgotten about
Me too, and it's funny you said that, because I was looking at my book. Turns out, I did buy the Happily Ever After book, and I have it.
Nice. So, it is called Violet in Bloom. So, who could it be about?
I wonder.
So stay tuned for that. We will definitely cover that in the future. And plus, there's also Julia Quinn's Rokesby's series, which is like a prequel to Bridgerton, I believe. So,
it is. You even do have Violet and Edmund make appearances.
And Colin.
Oh, and Colin.
Baby Colin. Mm-hmm. Baby Colin's in it.
They make appearances in some of the later books.
Mm-hmm. So we will perhaps take that on one day too.
Eventually. Maybe we'll just have one or two in the series, but I think that it is so fun that we are able to read those, all these books, and then have these second happily ever afters. And I don't know about you, but we did talk about Julia Quinn's. I have now have it pre-ordered. It's the graphic novel of
Mrs. Butterworth and the Mad Baron.
Yes, I have that on pre-order. I'm very excited for that. So
that's going to be really fun to read.
Yes. However, before we go, we would like to remind you that we have a Patreon that was started fairly recently. Our Patreon tiers begin at $3 a month, and you get some fun goodies and extras, plus our undying love and affection. You can find out more and support us at patreon.com/T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, Strumpets.
And this podcast is and always will be free. And if you aren't in the position to support us monetarily, then there are lots of other ways to show your support. You can subscribe to us on Facebook and leave comments there. You could leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, or anywhere else you can review us, or follow us on social media at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets. And of course, you can always tell a friend about the podcast. And thank you for all that you guys already do.
Yes, thank you so much. And on that note, what do we have next time, Zoe?
So next time, you know, it's September, and that got me thinking back to school. So our next episode, we're going to do another one of our lists, so that you'll have a lot of books to add to your TBR. So our next episode is Hot for Teacher, Governess Romances That Deserve an A+.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Yeah, so it might be a little bit of a shorter list than some of our other lists, because I think we're going to try to vet most of these books, because, you know, governess romances can be hit or miss, right?
They're, you know, some of us don't like the employer-employee trope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a tricky line. So we're gonna talk about some of our favorites and make sure that, you know, they're ones that we've read or have on good authority that are worth your time.
Yes. In fact, I'm already thinking of one that needs to go on that list because I want to read it.
Oh, exciting. I've got like two or three that I'm like, yes, these are on. I know that they go on the mm-hmm. list. And I know that I read an entire like 12 book series on governesses.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, I remember loving it, but this is years ago. So I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll have to dip back in, pull them up on my Nook and see
get a little tester
if they
in there.
Still hold up. Yes. Alrighty. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And thank you all so much for your support in general. We love doing this and we love hearing from you. So join us next episode as we read you our list of Hot for Teacher Governess Romances That Deserve an A+.
And may all your ever afters end happily.